Okay. Under Hayden Watkins moves to amend line 15 to read $4,000. Right, Hayden Watkins withdraws his amendment.
Second.
Consent. See none. Any further?
What is the obviously, why like summaries of debate and discussion aren't included in the meeting minutes? And I was hoping that's
that's because we don't have.
Do.
Right, that's because the UA, I mean, the OA hasn't finished training clerks yet. And so, since Eric and Jessica have like other full time jobs to get to, the meeting minutes won't be as detailed until we have a full time clerk.
Do we have an idea when that would be?
Eric, are we going to be editing the meeting minutes from these first few meetings after the fact with the clerks?
We will if we have time, but as soon as the meeting minutes are passed, I can also get to editing and putting the full audio online to be available right next to the meeting files on the SA website. And that's as good a segue as any to say that we do have a student assembly clerk, Sophia. She's a freshman in the Dyson School and she's here observing and training today and will be starting with us next week. So everyone, give a warm welcome, please. Introduce yourselves. Make you feel known. And final segue on that one, just a reminder that next week's meeting is in Appell Commons 303. It's one of our three fall meetings that had to be moved out of this room. So not here, September 25th, Appell Commons. Thank you.
Motion to approve the meeting minutes or whatever we call it. By unanimous consent.
Is there a second? Okay, seeing none, the meeting minutes are approved with that amendment. We have no communications for this week and no items on the consent calendar, so we'll move to reports of officers, committees, and liaison. Vice President Watkins.
Okay, I'm required to report on a lot about byline by the charter, which we will dive deeper into later. So I'm going to try to get through a lot of this as quickly as I can. First off, not related to byline, because of our fine for alternative breaks last year, we got $7,592.35 in the special projects account. And then going into byline, we received the following applicants who were eligible for all criteria: Multicultural Community Field Activities Board, Student Activities Funding Commission, Empathy Assistance and Referral Services, Club Sports Council, Multicultural Greek and Fraternal Council, Alana Intercultural Council, CPFB, CU Tonight, Student Programming Council, Class Councils, Cornell Concert Commission, Outdoor Odyssey, Gender Justice Advocacy Coalition, Students Helping Students Awards, International Students Association, Cornell University Programming Board, Minds Matter at Cornell, Willard Strait Hall Student Union Board, Slope Day Programming Board, Student Assembly, Interfaith Council at Cornell, and Haven. And then there's some other organizations that at the Assembly's discretion, we can waive some of their eligibility requirements. First off is the TATCON Center for New Students. They were not eligible under the following criteria: registered organization according to the standards of campus activities because they're a department, student-directed and student-led. They are not student-directed and student-led because they're a department, and a pre-registered university organization and is in good standing with campus activities. So unless there's any dissent, I think we're going to waive it. And then we have some more too. Club insurance, it was not student directed and student led. And then collegiate readership, student directed, it is not student directed and student led. It does not have a Cornell employed advisor, and it is not a university status with an advisor. And I also say we should waive those requirements. Lastly, I am required to report when the finance committee will be meeting. We will be meeting at 10 a.m. on September 20th, and then we are meeting with the Student Activities Funding Commission, and we are meeting in 106 Robert Purcell Community Center, and then September 21st, we will be meeting at 10 a.m. in Robert Purcell Community Center, and we will be talking with the Club Sports Council, Student Programming Council, Cornell Concert Commission, Slope Day Programming Board, Multicultural Community Field Activities Board, Willard Strait Hall Student Union Board, Cornell University Programming Board, Convocation Committee, Class Councils, and Senior Days. Thank you.
Is there any dissent to waiving the requirements for the listed organizations or any questions on the topic? And just to provide some context, none of these organizations are new. They've all applied to re-register, so that's it. Representative Galvin. So is there any sense of waiting? Can you speak the local time? I'll recognize the question.
Yeah.
No, closer.
Hello.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay. Like if you're a part, then do we get adequate invite or if we are part of the a committee, like do we get a calendar invite or?
We're I actually that's part of my announcements list with committee stuff. We're getting we're there. Finance committee, yes, everyone on finance committee should have received the G calendar.
You will very soon.
Okay, so expect the next 5 minutes then. Okay, any further reports of authors committees liaisons? Member Galbraith.
Hi, everyone. In case you didn't remember last week, we referred, what was it, Resolution 6 to the Student Dining Services Committee. I'm letting everyone know now that the next committee meeting will be on October 20th. That is the first Monday after fall break. If you have opinions on this resolution, you are more than welcome to join. Please reach out to me with any questions. Because what I don't want to happen is us coming out of the committee and being like, well, what about this? What about that? And join dining committee. It's fun.
Okay, any further reports? Seeing none, we'll move to announcements. First of all, this meeting will probably run until 6:30. I have agenda items for committee of the whole that are important and interesting, I swear. Also, fill out the committee form that I emailed out last week. I know that I got some later than I thought I would, but there's only 8 responses on the form. So even if you're a committee chair, just put the committee that you chair as like your number one option. But I want a response from everyone or else you will be placed on 2 committees randomly, just based off need. And after exec approves the initial slate of committee membership on Monday, then you'll all get information about final committee assignment list. Also, President Kolikoff and Vice President Lombardi are attending the October 9th meeting. They will be here for 30 minutes, 15 minutes in discussion and 15 minutes in Q&A. So if you have any questions for them that you'd like to pre-submit, you can submit the Qualtrics form by October 2nd. I'll email out that Qualtrics form in a minute. There is an opportunity to ask questions on the floor. However, pre-submitted questions come first and will be answered. And they usually give extra time because those pre-submitted questions go over the 15 minutes. That's it for my announcements. So we will now move to presentation. We have my honor to welcome Assistant Vice President Katie King, who leads Cornell's Office of Civil Rights. AVP King brings to Cornell wealth of experience in institutional equity, compliance, civil rights law, having served as the inaugural Institutional Equity Officer at SUNY Upstate Medical University and Deputy Chief in the U.S. Attorney's Office. At Cornell, she coordinates compliance with federal, state, and local civil rights regulations, oversees investigations under Policy 6.4, and works to ensure that every member of our community has the tools and support needed to foster an equitable learning and working environment. She is presenting to us today and answering our questions on the newly established Office of Civil Rights. So, computers down, and please refer your full attention. She'll be here for 20 and 30 minutes, and a cap on Q&A of 5 questions. Okay, you can just pass them down. Okay, a physical copy of the slideshow in paper form coming your way. And welcome to start.
Thank you. Can everyone hear me? Should I talk louder? Is that good?
You can bring the mic a little bit closer.
Can you hear me? Good. Okay. Hi. Thank you all for having me. Thank you for the lovely introduction. My name's Katie, and I am the AVP for the Cornell Office of Civil Rights. And why I wanted to come today to this group specifically is that our office was renamed, and it happened in June after everyone left for the summer, not on purpose, just because that was the timing. But I wanted to make sure that everybody knows why the office was renamed, what we do, and have the chance for you all to ask me any questions that you have. So I started here at Cornell in November 2023, And when I started, the name of the office was the Office of Institutional Equity and Title IX, or OIETIX, which is very long, and I felt like not very clear about the work that we did. The first page of your handout is showing all the different work that our office does and has done since I've joined Cornell. And, you know, for example, we do employee disability accommodations or employee accommodations for people who are pregnant or have a religious accommodation need. That is pursuant to the ADA. Yet I would have folks coming up to me and saying, oh, I need to send my employee to you to Title IX to get their accommodations, right? Like that is not the same thing. And so everyone would refer to our office as the Title IX office. Title IX is sex discrimination in federal programs and activities, or programs and activities that receive federal funding, right? So we do a lot more than sex discrimination work, and I wanted the name of our office to capture the breadth of the work that we do. So in June of this year, a decision was made by university leadership with a lot of input from me that we were going to move some work from the Office of Student Conduct and Community Standards to my office. That work specifically is discrimination, harassment, and bias reports related to protected status involving student respondents. So when we moved that work to our office, I felt like it was a really good opportunity to change the name of the office as I had wanted to do since I came here, because we would need to be doing outreach to the university community to let you all know about the change in the work. And so I was like, okay, let's give us the name that I think makes sense, which is the Cornell Office of Civil Rights. Everything that we do is civil rights compliance work. So I'm very hopeful that having a simplified office name that says exactly what we do will help folks know where to go if they have a concern. So importantly for you all though, work that involves student on student protected status harassment will now be addressed by the staff in my office who are specifically trained to handle those concerns. When the work was in the Office of Student Conduct and Community Standards, the student code of conduct and the student code of conduct procedures have very specific requirements for how formal complaints can be brought and how cases can be addressed. And we recognize that in order to be, compliant with policy 6.4 and to provide the best service to the university community and make sure that matters were being handled in accordance with university policy and law, that we needed to pull that work into my office. And so we published procedures that are available on our website, which is Cornell Office of Civil Rights, civilrights.com or .edu, and that you can go and look and see like how we would handle complaints of student on student protected status for us. When it gets to the question portion, I'm happy to answer any questions that you have about that. But you can also see from this slide that we handle other things as well. So the one other, two other things that I think would apply to this group are we handle consensual relationships concerns. So for undergraduate students, it is very important that you all know that any employee of this university, staff or faculty, are prohibited from being in a relationship, a romantic relationship with an undergraduate student. It is not appropriate for that to be happening, and it is against university policy, okay? So we handle consensual relationships. There are some caveats for graduate students, so students who are not undergraduate students, but it's very clear about undergraduate students. And we also do education and training. So we've been invited to come to various groups. So we meet with all of the RAs at the beginning of every year. We have been invited into fraternity and sorority life to give some presentations. Whoever would like to hear from our office about any of the work that we do, our education and training specialist, Elizabeth Biddle, is here. They are new to our office, new to Cornell, as of June of this year. We're so happy to have them. And Elizabeth is happy to kind of customize any training that anybody would want to have from us related to the work that we do. If I could on the next slide, that would be great. I don't know if any of you have ever seen me present before, but I include this slide in every presentation that I give because I think it is really important. We are here at Cornell University, situated in New York State, and we also have a campus in New York City. And so our policy 6.4 is the Cornell policy that prohibits discrimination and harassment at Cornell based on protected statuses. And these are all of the protected statuses that are covered under policy 6.4 for every person at Cornell, student, staff, and faculty. These are broader protections than the federal government ensures for civil rights protections and are many more protected groups than other states offer. So we have people coming here from other states, other countries, and they may not always know that all of these groups of folks are protected here at Cornell University from discrimination and harassment. The ones on the bottom line, the height, the weight, and the caregiver status, these are groups of people that are specifically protected by New York City human rights law, but because we have campuses in New York City and we are one Cornell, we have brought those statuses into policy 6.4 to apply to people here in Ithaca, as well as our Geneva campus or any other location where we have students or employees. There's also some asterisks here on this sheet for religion, disability, pregnancy or related condition, and domestic violence victim status. At Cornell University and in New York State, you may be eligible for accommodations in your employment or in your education program or activity if any of these apply to you and you need an accommodation because of these. A lot of people are not familiar with accommodations for victims of domestic violence. That is a protection here in New York State. And so if you need to, if you are a victim of domestic violence and you need to go to like a court proceeding or something, university can help you with accommodations if you need to miss class or something like that, or if you need to go to counseling or something because of your status as a victim of domestic violence. That is a protected status here in New York State. Okay, the next slide just kind of just gives some general information about our office. So it's always really important that folks know that our office is a private office. We are not a confidential office. What does that mean? So there are confidential resources here on campus that are available to everyone. So the Ombuds office is a confidential resource. The Share office is a confidential resource. CAPS is a confidential resource. And the professional staff in some of the centers are confidential resources. So in the LGBT Center, in the Gender Equity Center, in the Office of Spirituality and Meaning Making, the professional staff in those offices are also confidential resources. What does that mean? You can go and share any experience that you have had with a member of an office like that is a confidential resource, and they will not share that information with anybody else. They will not share that information because they are confidential. There are individuals on campus who are considered designated reporters. I am a designated reporter. Every member of the athletic staff is a designated reporter. Most of the individuals in housing and residence life are designated reporters. All of the deans are designated reporters. That means that if a designated reporter learns of sexual misconduct involving a student, they have an obligation to report it to the council. So if you want to talk with someone confidentially, there are confidential resources. If you talk with anyone that's not a confidential resource, there is a chance that the incident will get reported to our office. But what that means is we keep the information private, right? So we're not going to run around and share that your information has been shared with us. What we do is the things that are listed next. So we will assist you with getting any type of interim measure that you might need. So sometimes folks just want to know contact order. We can help them with that. If there's a potential policy 6.4 violation, we can issue no contact orders. We can help with various accommodations in terms of housing, academic schedules, things like that. If you're a student employee and you need some type of student employment accommodation, we may be able to help you with that as well. But we will do outreach to you to make sure that you know what your options are. I'm just going to move on to the next page. Okay, so this page covers your rights as a Cornell student. So if you are like subject to an incident that is a potential violation of policy 6.4, you have rights at Cornell. So you have the right to report it to us. If it's a potential crime, you have the right to report it to the police. You also have the right to report it to no one and do nothing about it, right? That's up to you. No one should force you, coerce you into reporting something that you don't want to. What we want is for people to have information about the resources that are available to them so they can decide what to do if something happens. If you choose to come and meet with our office, you have the right to bring someone with you. So you can bring a support person. We also have advisors here at Cornell University that are available to complainants and respondents. Currently, all of the advisors are students in the law school, and they have an office of the complainants codes counselors and an office of the respondents codes counselors. If you are a complainant or a victim or an impacted party, you can connect with the complainants codes counselors without having to connect with our office first. If you Google that, they have their own website. And same for respondents. If you think you're a respondent, you can connect with respondents codes counselors and they'll give you some advice as well. You have the right to get interim measures or supportive measures depending on your circumstance, and you have the right to be protected from retaliation. We take retaliation very, very seriously. If you report a concern to our office, you are protected from retaliation, and a retaliation investigation and a retaliation consequence is separate and apart from any underlying consequence, right? So there can be consequences for retaliation, even if the underlying claim is like never proved. I hope that makes sense. So we always encourage reporting. Reporting is helpful for us. Reporting helps us know what's going on campus. If we don't know that something happened, we can't help you. We can't do anything about it. So reporting is the way to get to us. Our campus is huge, as you know. We have so many students. We really rely on our online reporting form for people to get into contact with us. But at the end of the packet, there's also information. We get people walking into our office pretty consistently, so please feel free to walk in if that makes you more comfortable. You can call us, you can email us, and connect with us to get an appointment with our office. What happens is we give you information about what your resources are, right? So, like, here's all the information about confidential resources. Here's information about things that you may want to take advantage of in terms of supportive or interim measures. And here's an offer for you to meet with us. So when we find out that someone's been impacted, we will send them an outreach email. We do not require or force anyone to meet with us in the student capacity. Employees are a different story, right? Employees have an obligation to the university, and we can force employees to meet with us. We rarely do that. Students, we will never force to meet with us. It's always, always optional. But what doesn't happen? What doesn't happen when you report to us? We do not make a report to the police. We are a private office and keep our information confidential in that way. The only time we ever provide information to CUPD is if there is like an active and ongoing threat to the